In 2017, a woman who had once been an average middle-aged mother was gunned down in front of her home in a town in the north of Mexico by escaped convicts. She had been instrumental in putting them away in the first place. Her name was Miriam Rodriguez, and she became famous, some would say infamous, for hunting down members of a cartel responsible for kidnapping and killing her teenage daughter. Belgian director Teodora Ana Mihai has made a movie based on Miriam Rodriguez called La Seville. Meant to be a documentary, it eventually turned into a fiction when it became too dangerous to film Rodriguez. We talked to the director about the years she spent researching the subject in Mexico.
My name is Teodora Ana Mihai, and I'm a director. I make documentaries and fiction films.
You spent time in northern Mexico to research the story of La Seville. What did that research entail?
Well, I kind of was fascinated. I've always been fascinated by the point of view of adolescents. And my first film was from the point of view of a 15-year-old girl in Romania, a completely different context and story. But I kind of wanted to have that same point of view in Mexico. So what I did is I started interviewing kids in schools, adolescents. You know, dozens and dozens and dozens of interviews. And it was very confronting because I realized how many of these kids had actually been very close to this cartel violence. Either, you know, they had been in a shootout on the street, or they had to hide in under the desks in school, or, you know, they had some family member that had been kidnapped, sometimes killed. You know, it was just a reality that was omnipresent, but for them it was kind of a banality almost, because it was just part of life. And when you come from somewhere else and you realize, wow, this should not be part of childhood. And many of these kids were, when asked what they wanted to do later, you know, being a narco or the girlfriend of a narco was actually an option. But then through a common acquaintance, a lady came to talk to me. She wanted to meet me.
And this was Miriam Rodriguez.
Yeah. You know, who had heard that I was doing research in the region, that I was a foreign filmmaker, and she wanted to talk to me. So we met. And it was a very interesting meeting, a meeting with a gun on the table, like, this is who I am, I want to talk to you, I want you to take me seriously. And she started talking, and it was fascinating because her words did not match her physical appearance. Mm-hmm. This was a middle-aged lady, a mom, not the violent type. And, you know, this sentence that she said was really for me the spark to change this point of view and not tell it from the point of view of the kids, but of a mother who has lost her child. She said, when I wake up in the morning, I want to kill or die. That's how I wake up every morning. And I was like, okay, how do you get to this conclusion? I mean, what happened to you? And so a very long dialogue ensued. And, you know, La Seville is then the end result of that.
Miriam Rodriguez was eventually murdered.
She was.
In front of her home.
Yeah.
No doubt by criminal gangs who were trying to shut her up.
Yes.
That must have been really shocking to you.
Well, it was shocking, even though we expected it. She knew it was going to happen, and everyone around her knew. Unfortunately, because that's one of the unwritten rules of this war, is that if you keep annoying people long enough, they might want to silence you, you know? And for Miriam, she kind of felt that she didn't have anything else to lose. But of course, I mean, we didn't want to put our people in danger. So initially we had wanted to film her in a documentary style, but it was very clear that we were putting her too much on the spotlight. And we were not getting what we needed because we were so visible, because we had bodyguards. The bodyguards had the army in to protect us. And I was everything but a fly on the wall.
So you had bodyguards?
Yes.
To protect you while you were doing your research?
Not the research,
okay,
but the actual, when we started filming the documentary. So we filmed her for about 2 weeks. during the research, quite honestly, we took risks. Yeah, I mean, we had been followed by the cartel several times. One time we got stuck in a house for several days and we kind of didn't dare to move because we knew that, you know, they were kind of checking us out and waiting there. But anyway, luckily, nothing bad happened. But it was a crazy ride.
So the film was up for 3 prizes at the Cannes Film Festival, yes. And it won the Courage Prize. And I think it's pretty obvious why.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, you know, the translation is a bit weird to me because in French they say le prix de l'audace, which is the audacity prize.
Okay.
But you know, audacity and courage is like...
There is a slightly different
nuance. I like audacity more. But yeah, of course, everything had to do with the fact that all the elements were so difficult and it took a lot of guts, actually, to, you know, first of all, handle a subject matter that is so sensitive in Mexico, and then of course the woman who inspired us, who was very courageous and kind of, you know, took all the risks. I always try to choose relevant stories that touch me, and my goal is to touch other people. I'm not a politician, otherwise I would have gone on a completely different path. I humbly know my place in the world and I tell stories, and I hope that the people who do see it and who could do something about it, and actually it's in every one of us. Like, every one of us has this kind of, you know, moral responsibility to grow as a person and to... So that's mm-hmm. that's what I try to do.
The woman in your film, who's a bit based on Miriam Rodriguez, mm-hmm. is working class. And I assume Miriam Rodriguez is also working class.
Mm-hmm.
Or was. What's difficult to understand is why these gangs would target youngsters, would kidnap youngsters from working class families who cannot possibly pay the money that they're being asked to pay.
Really, there is no rules, but many times they even go for less money. Really, like sometimes they do these kind of express kidnappings just to get $50 or something, like, you know, very small amounts. It's bizarre. I mean, many times it's not that well planned. It can even be a pastime, a kind of fun. But they do their research. I mean, in this case, they're working class, but they do have a store. So they're not quite the persons that don't have anything.
They're not poverty stricken,
no,
right?
Okay. No, they're not. So the cartels do their scouting. They know, okay, do they have houses, ranches? Do they own a store? Do they own anything? And many times that's the way. Okay, you cannot pay. You don't have enough in your bank account, but you have a ranch. Put it on this name. Go to the notary public and do the, you know, and that covers the fee.
Something that becomes clear very quickly in La Saville is that the police and the military have some of the same duties. They sort of become in the film almost interchangeable.
Yes. Well, the police supposedly closer to the civilians. I mean, they're armed force, like they're the first armed force that civilians should go to, and which he does. But obviously she feels that there is not enough response. So
there's a lot of corruption also within the police.
Mm-hmm. It is said that it's one of the most corrupt forces. Whereas, you know, like there are levels. There are so many different armed forces in Mexico. You have to know, like there is a lot more than just the army and the police. But the army has a reputation of being a bit less corrupt than the police. I mean, that's why people don't go to the police. And that's what she also figures. Okay, the police doesn't help me. Who else could? Even the army has a phone number where people can call, mm-hmm. and put a complaint, and then the army just takes it. I mean, they don't necessarily collaborate, which in Europe happens a lot, but they're not.
So you are a Belgian filmmaker with Romanian roots.
Mm-hmm.
So your first film was shot in Romania. It was about,
yes,
a Romanian family, which kind of seems like a natural thing for you to want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your interest in Mexico? What are your ties to that country that made you want to make a film like this?
Well, the ties go back to when I was 16, when I was the age of Laura when she gets kidnapped. I was studying in San Francisco, California. I was in high school. I had so many of my friends and acquaintances who were of Mexican origin or at least Latin origin, and I had gotten acquainted with the country and the culture through them. And it was a completely different situation back then. It was before the President Calderon had declared the war on drugs, which is really the moment that the cartels kind of dropped this gentleman code of not involving civilians and keeping the conflict off the streets. And so slowly but surely you realize that violence was seeping into people's everyday life, especially in the north. But now, I mean, later it just got more omnipresent in different states of Mexico. And sometimes it would get worse in one region, then it would calm down, then it would go to another region. So like it was always moving. Luckily, I mean, Mexico is not everywhere dangerous, you know, like mm-hmm. there's a lot of touristic places that are lovely, and I would definitely not discourage people to go to Mexico, but you just need to know where you're going, and you need to kind of do your homework beforehand. We filmed in Durango, which is a quite northern state. It's a quiet state. It's one that has been controlled for a while now, and so it was, you know, they welcomed us. Durango is actually quite landscape-wise beautiful. It has this beautiful light. I think one of the most beautiful lights in Mexico. Kind of golden, yeah, beautiful color palette. It has this like Western look, and not for nothing, John Wayne filmed his four last films in Durango. And for me, it was, you know, this evolution of, as an insider-outsider, because I always kept kind of in touch. I would go once in a while, and I really realized in 2012, when I was still working on Waiting for August, but I was traveling, and my brain was making links between the kids in Romania who were living in difficult conditions, but for different reasons, for socio-economical reasons. But then I was wondering, how is it here where, you know, my friends are telling me that I shouldn't leave the house after 7 p.m. How is it to grow up here? How is it to be a parent here? So, well, I felt like I should do something. I really felt like called to do something.
So your family, in fact, fled the Ceausescu regime in the 1980s. And you were little, I imagine.
Yeah.
And that experience could lend itself to wanting to make a movie about people who are victims of an organized system of corruption.
I mean, under Ceausescu's regime, what people felt is that nothing is what it seems. There was, the Secret Service was so powerful. In the cities, I'm pretty sure it's an exaggeration, but people believed that in the big cities, one in four citizens was an informant for the Securitate. So it forms you as a person. You don't trust anyone, and nothing is what it seems. You feel that in Mexico as well. In Cielo's world, nothing is what it seems. And she cannot basically trust anyone but herself. And by the way, there's a lot of similarities between Romania and Mexico.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Even though we were separated by an ocean and different language and everything. But yeah, I always felt very close. I guess the same values, mm-hmm. the same value system. This the family focus, the religious aspect, the gender issues, corruption. Like there is enough to make links, to make bridges.
La Seville opens the Ghent Film Festival next week, and you live in Ghent, yeah?
Yes.
So this must be quite exciting.
Yeah, I would think. It's very cool. Yeah, I'm very happy and honored that I could, like, I can present it in my city. It's special because many times it's a foreign film that opens, and now it goes local. But mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, local. It has this international kind of aura anyway because of the subject matter and the Spanish language. But yeah, we're quite happy.
La Seville opens the Ghent Film Festival next week and opens across Belgium on October 27th.